Good morning.
Morning.
I didn't know how many there would be this morning. Thanks for coming, both members and visitors. And surprise! I was surprised last Sunday morning when Dwayne got up to lead our singing. And Dwayne, thanks. He did his best and a good job, didn't he? I'm not Brian, am I? Incidentally, I'm looking forward to next Sunday when Brian will be back with us. So I'm tempted when we say good morning, sometimes say good afternoon, but that might not be appropriate. So our theme this morning is going to be listening to Jesus. And by listening, I mean we accept what he says, we believe what he says, and we follow him. Our goal is to become more like him in the way we think and talk and live. I'm going to add a prayer. Is that okay? Brian is polishing the pulpit. I'll leave it to your discretion whether next Sunday he polishes the pulpit or not. Let's pray for all the hundreds and thousands, many of them families, at that gathering in East Tennessee. And then let's pray for our brothers and sisters everywhere. And it finally dawned on me, I have brothers and sisters in Russia and Ukraine. Now, I'm for Ukraine. But isn't that right? We have members of God's family in both of those nations. Let's have a prayer. Father, we ask your richest blessings to be on Brian. We pray that it will have an impact, not only for now, but in the future to come on him. We also pray, Father, for all that are in attendance. And we pray that that time with hundreds of fellow Christians will truly impact their spiritual journey. And Father, we pray for your children wherever they are, not only in Belize and India, but the world over. Again, thank you for the privilege of worshiping you this morning and being challenged to think more about following Jesus each day. In his name we pray. Amen. I've thought a lot about what would be helpful this morning. And I agreed with the comment last week. A real challenge is, how do you balance your teaching and preaching? So, I want to do two things this morning. First of all, briefly, what we find in the Gospel of John. And then secondly, and this is really the major theme, I don't care whether you agree with me or not, I do want you to think. I do want you to pray. I do want you to go to this book. Doesn't matter what I say or what Brian says or someone you have a lot of confidence in our brotherhood. What does God, what does Jesus, what does the Spirit say in this inspired volume? That's the real question, isn't it? So, let me just, to get you thinking. Are we following the thinking of Jesus in regard to the Lord's Supper? Patrick, I thought you did a good job. But did we follow what Jesus wanted us to follow in the Lord's Supper? Are we following what Jesus wants in regard to baptism? That's sort of a controversial subject, isn't it? Even in our day and age. Are we following what Jesus wants in regard to our singing? And Van, I like the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I'm looking forward to the invitation song and the others. So, you know where I stand. I'm for the weekly observance of the Lord's Supper. But Jesus also said, this do in remembrance of me. So when we weekly observe the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I'm for immersion in water for the remission of sins. A lot would disagree with me. If you listen closely, I said, you have to be baptized to be saved or reconciled to God. A lot would say, oh, no, no, that's not right. And I know when we have good a cappella singing, tragedy is I can't lead good a cappella singing. I cannot teach good a cappella singing, but I know when we're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and it's from our heart. I thought a lot, what does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's a word now we're using a lot in our country and in the brotherhood. What does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus? So briefly, now remember what we emphasized recently in VBS, we'll go to just the Gospel of John. What did he have to say? And Duane, I appreciate you reading. So we'll come to it in a moment for John 20, 30 and 31. If you want to get real enthused and excited, there are 21 chapters in John. Can you give one thought for each chapter? Wow. 21 themes. Could you give it one verse of scripture from each chapter? That'd be some chapters that'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? Just one verse. Oh, I'd like to pick out several. 21 verses. Now, to introduce the value of John, and incidentally, I did read the entire book this past week. If you want to do that this following week, fine. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. And I shared the thought with Brian. I really don't know. But I wonder sometimes, did Peter and Paul ever see John's writings? His gospel. His three letters. His prophecies in the book of Revelation. Now, if I assume that tradition is right, Peter and Paul were killed in the 60s. I agree, giving a later date to John's writings. So if that's true, Now, I do not agree that then John came along, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they made a lot of errors. I'm going to correct them. No, I don't accept that. I just accept he came along, and I don't care what your background is, Jew, Roman, Greek, you need Jesus. The gospel is for all. So let's just, now, my challenge is you'll come up with 21 verses at least in the Gospel of John. I'm just going to share with you three. I sort of like, 3 points. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 3. What's the claim or affirmation about Jesus Christ? Now, I have the New King James, and I will be the first to admit, sometimes you have the same translation, and there could be some differences. One explanation is, when was it translated? When was it written? Early, middle, or late? So, what's said about the Word? Who, if you look at verse 14 in John 1, that would be Jesus Christ. But going back to chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made through Him. And without Him, that is the Word, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Now, I like to be as simple as you can. I sort of view, and it helps me, hope it will help you, God was more the architect. Jesus did the heavy work of construction. He was the builder. Is that what John's saying? Chapter 1, verse 3? And then I like to view the Spirit comes along as the interior decorator. Now, we need all three today, don't we? We need an architect. We need a builder. And we need an interior designer, don't we? Decorator. So there's creation. And I think I shared it with Vance. One day it dawned on me, well, if this is true, which I believe it is, then Jesus is the Lord of time. He's the Lord of history. He's the Lord of Scripture. Now, if we're not careful, we just think about Him in the New Testament. But He's the Lord of the church, isn't He? His church. His body. He's the head. But let's go to chapter 4, verse 24. Most of these verses are going to be extremely familiar. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God's a spirit. Patrick, I still remember. Am I a spirit with a body or a body with a spirit? Now, in our culture, a lot of times we say, oh, we're a body, don't we? Maybe I'm a spirit, but what does the book say? Does it say I'm a spirit that's permanent? With a body, that's temporary. We're born, we live, and what's going to happen? We're going to die unless Jesus returns while we're living. Either way, that's going to be a real change, isn't it? And incidentally, I still remember we had the celebration for Bill Bennett. Some of you say, well, who was Bill? Those of us that are a little older, we remember Bill. You know what I'm going to remember him about? He could really lead a prayer, couldn't he? Now, I'm not saying the other men can't lead a prayer, but that's what I'll remember. I was glad when he was down to lead prayer because I knew he was going to touch me, move me. I like to remember something about how that life impacted me rather than just get up and read a bunch of scriptures. How did his life affect me? What will my memory be? Granted, you'll probably have more than I will. But there's worship. Now we're ready to go to the passage that Dwayne read, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. I wonder sometimes, is that how Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all wrote? So let me read it again. And truly, Jesus did many other signs. Now, John likes the word signs. Could I read it this way? And truly, Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, if you put all the Gospels together, you come up, I kept encountering 35 signs or miracles. Did John select 35? No, he just selected 7. And he built the first part of the book around those 7. What difference does it make? Whether it's 35 or 7. I wonder sometimes, is it possible Jesus even did more than 35? Did he have the power to do more than 35? Now, I grant only 35 are listed in the books we have. And then John comes along and says, I'm not going to deal with all 35, but I've selected 7. Now let's read verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Let me use 2 other words. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. That's Hebrew and Greek. We might ask, well, what word would we use in English? Anointed. Jesus is the anointed one. And I like the thought in Hebrews, Jesus is our apostle. Isn't he? If you give the literal meaning, apostle, 1 cent. Did Jesus have a mission on this earth? But that it doesn't stop there, does it? The Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name. Now somehow I like life better than death. Wonder why. We're talking about life. Abundant life now and eternal life in heaven. I still have difficulty with that word, everlasting or eternal, because I'm so time bound. Okay, that's point one. Just an illustration. The Gospel of John is really important. Now, I want to share with you just three passages from the Gospel of John. And they all have in common, if you think this way, if you live this way, then you're my disciple. Isn't that what it's all about? Right now I'm a disciple. I want to go to heaven. And I like that emphasis that the one meeting, the preacher. Let's be a Christian. Let's go to heaven. And I'll ask you to read the chapter in which the verse is found. So, remember, three passages. They're all in the Gospel of John. Jesus the Messiah said this. Jesus the Son of God said this. All right, let's go to John chapter 8. And we're just going to stay in the book of John. I hope that will help you. And I'll apologize. Brian usually has the help, which I don't have today. And I'll apologize for that. Let's go to John chapter 8. And it helps me. First 12 chapters are the public ministry of Jesus. Gospels for all. Then, beginning in chapter 13 through 16, it's just Jesus and the apostles, his private ministry. But let's turn to John chapter 8. We're going to read verses 31. And 32. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if some of it sounds familiar. As he spoke these words, now you'll find what the words are as you read John 8. Many believed in him. John wants you to be a believer, not an unbeliever. How many believers do we have in the United States of America? How many unbelievers do we have in the United States of America? Now, look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word. Now, my Bible reads in the rest of verse 31, you are my disciples, indeed. And I'm going to assume you've heard the next verse many times. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, that's what Jesus said. It's the Sanford Church of Christ. Oh, that's the people that emphasize the book, or the word, the truth. Now, I'll show you my outline where I crossed it off, and I'll read it though. I had just seen in the same book, Jesus' prayer in John 17. Now remember, he prays for himself. He prays for the apostles, and then he prays for all of us. All three are in this prayer. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Set these men apart by your truth. Your word is truth. But then it dawned on me, hey, we're emphasizing the public ministry of Jesus. So let's go back to John 12, and I'll find it in a minute. Verse 48, now remember, this is what Jesus said. He who rejects me, if you reject Jesus, you're an unbeliever, aren't you? If you accept Jesus, you're a believer, according to John. Would that be right? He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. We don't like that word, do we? Well, evaluate, inspect. Could you use those words? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So, that's what Jesus said in John 8. Are we known for our emphasis on the word? Now, let's turn, and Jesus is mainly interested in the men that's going to carry on his work when he goes back to heaven. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you. I like new things. I'm sure you do too. That you love one another. Hey, wait a minute. Moses talked about, and the prophets talked about, you love your neighbor as yourself. That's Old Testament. Now here's Jesus saying, here's something new. Well, to me the key is, as I loved you. A lot of difference between you love your neighbor as yourself and you love as Jesus loved. And I thought Patrick really emphasized the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now look at verse 35. By this all will know. This will be evidence. This will be proof. You are my disciples. That you also love one another. So, Sanford Church of Christ, known for, oh, that's the group of people in town that emphasize love. God's love. Man's love on this earth. Now, let's just stay in the same conversation, chapter 14, verse 15. Now remember, this is what Jesus said. I find it really scary. If you love me, what did he claim? What did he affirm? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if we're not careful, we say in our society, and if we're not careful even in the Lord's church, which? That's not what he really said, was it? If you love me, keep my commandments. Some would translate, you will keep my commandments. Now, well, in the Gospel of John, let's go to chapter 15. I'm going to read 7 and 8. And I am watching the clock in the foyer, see if it agrees with mine or not. If you abide in me, you're in Christ, and my words abide in you, you abide in his words. You continue in his words. You live according to his words. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now we're ready for verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear a little fruit. Doesn't read that way, does it? That you bear much fruit. And then what did Jesus say? Now remember these verses, John 8, John 13, and John 15, they all have in common, this is evidence you're my disciple. So you will be my disciples. Now, is the Sanford Church of Christ known for, oh, that's the people in Lee County that emphasize bearing fruit. So, again, let me encourage you. Read about the Word in John 8. Read about love in John 13. Read about fruit bearing in John 15. And this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus wants. I grew up in the church. I have a degree from David Lipscomb College in Nashville, Tennessee. I have graduate work at George Peabody College for teachers, also in Nashville. My understanding is now Peabody's part of Vanderbilt. Would you like to have a degree from Vanderbilt? I've been in the north and south of our country. I've been in the Bible Belt in our country and the mission areas of our country. And incidentally, do you realize for the church that the Carolinas is a mission field? We're not really in the Bible Belt. Now you get over in Kentucky and Tennessee and going west, you can. I've been on both sides of the Mississippi. That's supposed to make a difference. You can debate whether that's true or not. Brethren east of the Mississippi maybe think and approach one way, and brethren west think and approach another way. Is that true or not? But I've been on both sides. But the main thought is, what can we read in the book? What Jesus said, what Jesus wants. Now, again, let me repeat. Is the Sanford Church of Christ known? Oh, that's the group of people, whether we agree or not, that emphasize bearing much fruit. Now, this is another lesson within itself. I could give you some other answers that might be given. And then you can evaluate whether they are right or wrong. But have we restored in attitude and action what Jesus wants in John 8, the Word? What Jesus wants about love. We use that word a lot now in our society. There's a lot of different, oh, I love ice cream. And boy, I do. Brian really likes vanilla. I'll eat all of them. I love Jesus. No comparison. I'm glad the Greeks had more than one word for love. We just have mainly one in our English. I love ice cream. I love Jesus. Same thing. What does it really mean if I love Jesus? So, have we restored what Jesus talked about, the Word, love, fruit bearing? Now, I'm for a lot of the other things, but now, we're going to close the lesson. Clock in the foyer says 11:25. Will you say something if we get out earlier than we normally do? Or Would it only be, oh, well, you were like Brian, you went way over. But now the good news is, even this morning, you can become a Christian. You can become a disciple. You can start your journey to heaven. Wow. That's good news, isn't it? And then I thought about the songs. If you would say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple, I'm going to heaven, do you need to come back home? According to this book, that's good news. You can come back home. You can come back to Jesus. And maybe the thought is you're new to this area. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. Let's worship together. Let's work together. Let's bring people to Jesus. Maybe that's the application. You want to be part of the family of God here in Sanford. So, need to obey the gospel. Good news. Need to come back home. Good news. Need to be part of a family. And incidentally, this is a tangent. I was disappointed when we didn't appoint some elders. So we'll look forward to the future, won't we? Some men of age and experience and wisdom that are overseers, that are shepherds, that can lead us to heaven. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That will say, become a disciple, become a Christian, go to heaven. So, Van, I hope we're ready for the invitation song. And if you need to come, do it today. While we ask you to stand, we sing.